Emily and Bill Johnson of Morgantown are master gardeners, meaning they've been trained and either volunteer or teach horticulture through a national master gardener program. And they've become passionate quite accidentally about supporting pollinators. They attend classes and also now offer occasional classes about good gardening practices to support insects that do the important work of pollinating plants.
Well, we're looking across a little section of lawn, and there's a stone walkway that winds up the hill. And on either side of the walkway are planted areas with mixed trees and shrubs and lots of flowering plants.
Several hundred varieties of plants are growing in their garden. Right now, it's the height of flowering plants, so purple, blue, yellow, red, and white blooms of all shapes and colors are spread across the half-acre or so yard. The Johnsons became interested in supporting pollinators when they began accidentally attracting butterflies. What started as a desire to encourage more butterfly visits became an interest in encouraging visits from all sorts of pollinators, including honeybees and native bees, dragonflies, and even things like hummingbirds and bats.
I mean, we love the beautiful garden, too, so it's not just about gardening for insects. It's about gardening for people as well, gardening for ourselves.
Bill also points out that a butterfly is only an adult butterfly for a small portion of its total lifespan, and many other early incarnations of butterflies require very specific plants.
For example, the pipe vine swallowtail, that's a beautiful black and blue or purple butterfly. Caterpillar only feeds on the Dutchman's pipe vine. Growing over next to that dead maple tree, there's a Dutchman's pipe that we planted to feed the caterpillars of Dutchman's pipe.
The Johnsons also grow milkweed for monarch butterfly larvae. Monarchs are the big black and orange and white migratory butterflies that are in grave danger of disappearing because of loss of habitat and other factors. In fact, the Johnsons grow a variety of milkweeds, as well as other native and wild plants, because, well, apparently, bugs love the native stuff.
Find a part of your garden that you can let go wild or as wild as you can stand it, and put native plants in or things that people might think of as weeds. For example, this is mountain mint, which is a native plant. It's not a showy plant, but it's one of the most attractive to a variety of bees, especially the really small bees, because it has tiny little flowers.
Also, Bill suggests, instead of maintaining a lawn, keep a clipped meadow. He says while he didn't coin the phrase clipped meadow, it gets to the point. From about 20 feet away, you might be able to discern some clover or a dandelion in his yard, maybe. Bill shrugs when he says he's given up a monoculture grass lawn.
Clover is a legume, and legumes are the only plant family that I know of that actually fixes nitrogen out of the air and turns it into nitrates and puts the nitrogen into the soil.
Wow.
So there's a synergy between the clover and the grass. So, you know, why put chemical nitrogen on your lawn when you can have clover do the job?
The Johnsons admit that they aren't organic gardeners, but they, like many, are worried about pesticide use. According to a recent study by Harvard's School of Public Health, pesticides are at the heart of colony collapse disorder. And the Environmental Protection Agency indicates that there is data to implicate one of the most commonly used pesticides, called neonicotinoids. The agency reports that residue from the pesticide, quote, can accumulate in pollen and nectar of treated plants and may represent a potential exposure to pollinators, close quote. 30% of our food effusively depends on honeybees alone. The value of their pollinating services is often measured by farmers and economists in billions of dollars. And the Johnsons have come to learn that they, too, can take advantage of this free service to grow their own apples, blueberries, raspberries, and a lot of herbs, too.
A lot of what we grow that's in bloom, not so much now, but especially later in the summer, are herbs. Things like thyme, oregano, lavender are all extremely attractive to bees.
Thai basil, which has these wonderful, we just let it bloom because there's more than enough to pull the leaves off and eat. And they just act like it's catnip or something. They just are all over the basil, and they really love the lavender.
Emily says as more and more information is being circulated on the subject of pollinators and gardening, farmers markets are a good place to get educated. And she also says you don't need a green thumb to grow some pollinator-friendly foods and plants.
Anybody can help. You know, it's one of these things where everyone can get in on this. This is a fun thing, and especially with kids. That's, you know, kids like to plant things, and they like bugs. As long as they're not taught that there's anything wrong with bugs, they really seem to like bugs.
So let's recap real quick. 5 gardening tips from 2 Monongalia master gardeners on how to support pollinators. Ready? Got a pen? Okay. 1, if you have a lawn, avoid pesticides and learn to keep a clipped meadow instead. The weeds that want to grow there can actually help you in more ways than you might imagine. 2, grow native plants. Pollinators love them. 3, don't forget that supporting pollinators can mean thinking about butterflies, dragonflies, hummingbirds, bats, and native bees, in addition to the European honeybee. 4, try growing your own food that needs pollinators, apples, raspberries, blueberries, and herbs like thyme, lavender, and basil. And 5, anyone can do it, from almost anywhere, from a community garden to a box of herbs on your deck or in a window box. The pollinators will find you. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Glynis Board in Morgantown.